I'm warm. I'm more nervous talking to kids sometimes. Kids, you're wonderful. Thank you so much for coming up front and sharing that time with me. Well, I've been involved in theater some. I'm not acting when I preach, okay? But I've been involved in, you know, theater where you dress up, you act, you perform a part. I never really played the lead role, but I've had smaller parts. I was in the musical Fiddler on the Roof, and you may know the story. It's not even really about a fiddler on the roof. The fiddler doesn't even actually have any lines in the play. I had lines, but I wasn't the main role. I had smaller parts. I played Avram the bookseller. I was in a few scenes, never really the center of attention, but my biggest moment as Avram was right in the beginning when Tevye, who is the real star of Fiddler on the Roof, sings Tradition, and all the town people come out and they're singing Tradition, and one of the traditions that they sing about is kind of this argument that happens in business transactions. And I, Avram, had sold another person a horse, and it was a good deal. It was a fair deal. He paid a fair price, and he got a good animal. And I said it was a horse, and he insisted it was a mule. But I tell you, it was a horse. Thanks, Mark. Mark was in that play, with that musical with me. And the fiddler on the roof is actually here today, too. Jesse's sister played the fiddler in the beginning of that show and throughout that show. So, I was never the lead character, but as we celebrate the story of Jesus' resurrection, I want to think a little bit about the main character. I mean, the focus is really rightfully on him, right? He rose from the dead. It's why we're here. But I want to suggest that there is another main character in the story, and her name is Mary Magdalene. Do you know that Mary Magdalene is the only character in the Easter story that appears in all four gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Surprisingly, Jesus is not even present in all of the various accounts. He's not in Mark's account of the gospel or of the resurrection. The angels repeatedly say he is not here. So if his body was there, we wouldn't be celebrating today. So he's the main character in that sense. But Mary is in every scene. She's first at the tomb, then she's with the disciples, then she's back to the tomb with these two angelic messengers, and then with Jesus, and finally one more time with the disciples. Everything in John chapter 20 revolves around her experiences, her emotions, her feelings, and her reactions on that first Easter. Resurrection is the most important event in the history of the world and in our salvation story. And Mary Magdalene is so prominently involved, we need to ask, who was she and why did she have such a major role? Well, we know this. Mary was dramatically rescued by Jesus. In Luke 8:2, it says that Jesus delivered Mary from seven demons. Now, the specific occurrence or situation of the deliverance isn't described there, but from other deliverance miracles, we know that it must have had a dramatic and powerful effect on Mary. Because in other instances where Jesus delivered people from demons, the demons had total control of the people's lives, of their victims, often trying to harm them physically. When Jesus rebuked the demons, they would come out with a shriek, convulsing their host one last time before coming out. The Gerasene demoniac is said to have had a whole legion of demons within him that gave him supernatural strength, a violent temper, and total isolation from human contact in a graveyard. Talk about social distancing. A legion of demons is about 6,000. I mean, a legion of Roman soldiers was about 6,000 people. So there's a massive amount of evil influence in that person's life. It was lonely and miserable. Like the demoniac, Mary Magdalene was possessed by multiple demons. The number seven is an indication of fullness or completeness, or we could look at it in Mary's case as total takeover of her life. Her life was completely overrun by the demons, and they fully controlled her. She must have been terrorized by these tormentors, isolated from family and friends, and no hope of escape. The only possibility of deliverance for her was for a force greater than the demons outside of herself to come to her rescue. And Jesus is that Savior. Let me ask you a question. Do you know of someone who has been saved dramatically and powerfully by Jesus from a broken, painful, or difficult situation? And how did they respond? Mary Magdalene responded by becoming one of several women who attended to Jesus and followed him and materially supported him throughout his ministry. She was part of his entourage as he traveled throughout Galilee and Samaria and Judea and to Jerusalem, where she heard his teaching on a regular basis and witnessed his miracles. We know about the 12 apostles and those named Peter, James, and John, but it turns out that Mary was right there with him, and I would like to think of Mary Magdalene as a 13th apostle. You see, Jesus isn't just a celebrity to Mary, like he was to many of the people that shouted Hosanna on the Palm Sunday that we celebrated a week ago when he rode triumphantly into Jerusalem as a king on the foal of a donkey. No, he wasn't just this celebrity to her. With her, the relationship is personal. She's not just a fan, she's a devoted follower. We know this because Luke tells the story of the woman Mary, a sinful woman, not necessarily Magdalene, Mary Magdalene, but another one, who anointed Jesus' feet with perfume and wiped them with her hair. And Jesus said this about her: "Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown." And we can be sure of this: Mary Magdalene also, because of her experience of deliverance and the grace of Jesus in her life, showed this kind of great love for Jesus. With incredible gratitude and heartfelt devotion, she gave herself completely to Jesus for having rescued her from terror and despair. Nothing would keep her from being near to him, not even his death. You see, the disciples are hiding in fear, but she was not ashamed or afraid to be identified as a follower of Jesus on that morning, that Easter morning, when she came to the place where Jesus' body had been laid as early as possible at dark 30 after the Sabbath. Just maybe a faint glimmer of light coming up to give her the ability to see enough to stumble through to the tomb through her tears. She came to finalize Jesus' burial with the embalming spices. You see, he'd been hastily laid in the tomb before the Sabbath started on the day of his crucifixion. And so she is a devoted, compassionate follower of Jesus, said, "I will go and care for this final care of the body of Jesus in his death." Her actions of love would be rewarded because they put her in the right place at the right time to be a witness firsthand of the most significant event in history. Have you ever considered that the more you love Jesus, the more you will experience his love, the more you will experience a sense of his help and presence and care and miracles? It's like turning on a shower. A small twist of the handle just gives you a little trickle, but if you turn it on full bore, that full of pressure of water comes out over you and cleanses you. That's what Mary has done. Her love for Jesus on this morning is dialed up to full, even though it's through pain and sorrow. And she's about to have the most amazing, soul-cleansing, life-changing experience in her life. So when Mary comes to the tomb and finds it empty, she experiences shock, fear, and sorrow that's too great to bear. It's hard for us to picture how it must have felt for her because we know what happens next. We know the end of the story, but imagine coming to that place of death, kind of prepared to do the last rites, the kind of final blessing of the body of your Savior, and then to find that the body is gone. It's not there. She told the disciples, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." And moments later, she stands outside the tomb and she repeats herself, "They have taken my Lord away and I don't know where they put him." It's like this great grievous occurrence has happened in her life that not only is Jesus dead, now she can't even finish the job she came to do. It's like getting kicked when you're down, insult being added to injury. Do you know of a situation of extreme disappointment or where things went from bad to worse? How does that make you feel in the moment? Jesus suffered in life, and now Mary thinks his body cannot even rest in peace in death. Through her vision, clouded by tears of grief, she pleads with the one who she thinks is the caretaker of the garden. She repeats what she said earlier, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. I will go find and somehow get his body and bring it back to this place and put it back where it belongs and finish the work I came to do." Then she hears Jesus speak one word that changes everything. "Mary," he says. With a loving, familiar voice saying her name as he had hundreds of times before, she now realizes who it is and that it's really true. He is alive. "Rabboni," she says, Aramaic for teacher. "Teacher, Rabboni, Savior, Lord, friend." He has showed her love by word and example, and now he's back from the grave, alive, risen. And in a moment, her upside-down world gets turned right side up again, and she is the first to see Jesus, to hear his voice, and to know that he is risen. And she became the very first witness to the resurrection. An apostolos, the Greek word for sent one. So in a sense, she was like the 13th apostle. She was sent to tell the others. Jesus said this to her in verse, to go tell the apostles, and it says in verse 18, "Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, 'I have seen the Lord.'" We usually think of Jesus as the focus of the resurrection, but in reality, it's Mary. And it's us. Because we are all Mary. We are all like her. Jesus saved her from 7 demons, but he also died for her sin, and he has rescued us and saved us from our sin, giving us the hope of forgiveness and life eternal. He rose from the dead, and he appeared to her alive, and he also rose to give eternal life to all of us. And so maybe we can think of the resurrection in a new way this day. We are the main character in the story, and Jesus wants to speak our names to us, just as he did to Mary. At the final curtain call, the actors will come together and bow before the audience, and I think in this drama of history that's unfolding, of which Jesus' resurrection is the main event, and Mary Magdalene and we are the main characters, when that curtain rises at the end of time and the stars take their bow, Jesus will be there in a standing ovation, cheering for us and speaking our names. "Well done, good and faithful servant." Because he's alive, we now will live with hope in the light of his grace, love, and forgiveness. And I pray that that knowledge moves from our heads to our hearts, from our thoughts to our experience, from our hearts to our hands and our feet and our voices, so that we're not just fans, but we're followers in every significant way that that can mean. Mary told the disciples this, "I have seen the Lord." And they told others, and they told others, and so on, until one day someone told us. It may be good news we've always known, or that we learned so long ago we don't remember when we first heard it. Or maybe we heard the news as a gift when we needed it most, in a time of dark despair or struggle with temptation and sin or addiction or something else. Or maybe we're even just hearing it for the first time today. It's good news. Jesus calls our name and saves us. It's our responsibility now to let the world know this. Like Mary, out of gratitude and love, let us at Pierce, let us as people of God go out to the world in joyful service as Mary gave herself to him and share this good news. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we consider this work of God to bring Jesus from the grave alive once and for all and forever, as the once and for all sacrifice for our sins and now living Savior that gives us not only forgiveness but the hope of victory over death itself, our hearts are lifted, Lord, to declare that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is risen, and you've given us the same role as Mary had, the same task, to go and tell others this good news, that Jesus is alive. So guide us, Lord, be with us, prepare us, send us. Lord, let us be people of faith who encounter Jesus every day and share him in every way with those that you have put us in contact with in our homes, in our church, in our community, and in our world. And we give you thanks and praise for this life that we have in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.